message is going to be on the passage that we looked at last week that only just had a little time to talk to you about. And this passage of Scripture is John chapter 20. John chapter 20, it is going to be verses 19 and following to the end of the chapter. There's three times that Jesus says in this passage of Scripture, "Peace be with you." Okay. And there's three times in this passage, well, two times in this passage that Jesus shows up, okay, in the midst of some fears, uncertainties, and doubts, okay? So it's almost like, peace be with you, hey, I'm here, okay? Or I'm here, peace be with you. When you look at the word peace be with you, I mean, it is a certainty in the language. I mean, this is something that God has promised. He has promised peace. Peace with God, peace with one another. It is an absolute total peace. It's a peace of the gospel. Good news. Scripture says that if you walk by the Spirit, you won't fulfill the deeds of the flesh. Okay? So if you've got a problem with sin, or you've got a problem with darkness, or things in your life, or bad habits, the Scripture is saying in that passage, you're just walking according to the flesh. And if you walk according to the Spirit, you won't fulfill that junk that brings devastation ultimately. Okay. And then he says, but the fruit of the Spirit, and he lists the nine fruits, by which you have when you walk by the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I look at this passage of Scripture and have all my life, and I just see it in my own life, and I see it in lots of other people's lives, is that sometimes the greatest, I don't know, the fruit that seems the most elusive is peace. I mean, I've been working with y'all for 40 years. And I've also been trying to work with myself. Because, folks, in this life, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have uncertainty. You're going to have doubts. And you're going to have things that come your way that God is going to use for His glory. But the enemy wants to tear you up with fear, worry, and anxiety and stress. Now, I know that we're in a season here that there's lots of things that we can be worried about and fearful of. And I'm not talking about not being concerned. I'm not talking about living a life that's just flippant, hunky-dory, Pollyanna, all that stuff. Because life is serious because we are in a war. And the war is a spiritual war. We already heard this morning that God comes to give you life and give it to you abundantly. Thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And he'll kill you and destroy you in every way. I'm going to tell you this, ever since Satan heard that the seed of the woman would crush his head, he has been at an all-out war against the seed Jesus and the seed you and me. You think about mortality rates in the Copper Canyon? You think that's just health? Yeah, it's health. But I'm telling you, it's the enemy wanting to destroy the seed. You look at your children, and you look at the propensities to sin when they get older, the things that the propensity to doubt, the propensity to walk in certain things. Some of our children just angry, right? Well, I'm just telling you this. I'm telling you, this is an all-out war against the seed. That's you and me. That's our sons and daughters. That's our grandsons, our granddaughters. He comes to corrupt, and he comes to kill, and he comes to steal, and he comes to destroy. And yet, our great God comes to give peace. Now you think, well, how does that work? Well, I'm going to tell you this. That's Genesis 3:15, okay? That the seed's going to come, crush the head of the enemy. Well, in Romans chapter 16, verse 20, it says that Satan will soon be crushed under who? Under your feet. Praise God. There is this promise of victory. And the victory is found in the shoes of peace where we proclaim the gospel and we live the gospel. Because when you proclaim it and you live it, you can't help but find freedom. Can't help but find freedom. In this particular passage of Scripture, Jesus has been crucified and now he's risen from the dead. This is Resurrection Sunday. This is the very day he came to life. Now, he'd already appeared to the women, and Peter and John ran to the tomb, you remember, and looked in. But there at that evening, they are holed up in the upper room where they had Passover a few nights ago. And they're holed up, and they're scared to death. They're walking in fear, anxiety, thinking that what happened to Jesus will happen to them. Well, actually, one day, it'll all happen to them. It'll all happen to them. Matter of fact, if we get time to look at Thomas this morning, Thomas, doubting Thomas, okay, doubting Thomas, who gets a bad rap, in my opinion, in my humble opinion, will one day go to India, present the gospel. Some think he went into China, Craig. But he lost his life. He was speared through in India because of his faith in Jesus. But here, they're scared to death. Have you ever been scared to death? Frightened, fearful? I mean, listen, there are things happening in our body that would produce fear in us. Fear in some of our folks. Do you know that we have 4 men and 1 woman who have been diagnosed with cancer? Yeah. Prognosis can be a very fearful thing, right? Not only for you, but for the people you love. We've had loss this year, the Anderson, the Warrens, the Sanders, Donahue, Powell, all lost the men in their lives, the dads, the grandfathers, the husbands. Okay. Galen Williams, got to visit with them, John Ann and I, on Friday, and he is struggling with scar tissue on the lungs, with the fibrosis of what they call the fibrosis, and he is struggling. Jamie Solis has had a problem with water on the brain, and so the stuff that they put in to drain was not working, and he's got meningitis. He's got a fungal infection. He's going to have surgery on Monday to do something with those shunts. Mary Lee Mayberry just got back from back surgery. He's doing well. I noticed that she's here today. Miss Jan Knupp has been struggling with some severe anxiety, and she's on the prayer list. Listen, folks, there's lots of folks going through it, and some of them, so many are unspoken. And yet, Jesus wants to show up and say, peace be with you. Not the kind of peace the world can give, but the peace that only he can give, because he's what? He's the Prince of Peace. That's what he is. He's the Prince of Peace, the King of Peace. The one that brings peace. And you know, and I know that there's other things going on in our world. I mean, if you're listening to conservative stuff all the time, like I am, I mean, they're going to scare you to death. The end of the world. You know, when the lights go out, EMPs. And then there's the wars and rumors of wars and weather patterns and earthquakes and all these kinds of things. And then there's difficulties that we have in relationships, and there's difficulties that we have in our job, and we know inflation's out of the roof, and so there's threats of bankruptcy and layoffs and so much uncertainty. There's lots of us in here dealing with aging parents, fractures in relationship, and all of us seem to be tired, fatigued, worried, and fearful. How many of you are tired? Don't show your hands. How many of you said, I'm tired? Yeah. There's a lot, according to the world, to be fearful of. And there's a lot for these folks, of all that they saw, these disciples, all that they saw. Some of them were married. I don't know if they had kids, but some of them were married. And when I see this, I see these things, as a pastor, to walk alongside, and then to have my own stuff that I'm fearful of, or certain things that happen during the week that just something wants to grip me. It's like the claw. The claw wants to get into my face, click into it, and then hook me and take me to the places I don't want to go and you don't want to go. Because there's nothing good to those places of absolute, total fear, worry, and anxiety. Amen. But we have Jesus who lives in your heart, in your life, who's available right now, right here, so that you might hear, somehow hear, I'm here, that's Jesus, peace be with you. I'll never forget one of the first times that I ever helped somebody in anxiety and fear and worry. And there's an elderly lady in our church, back when we were 35, 40 people. And I went in and we talked about some of the principles I hope they're going to share in a moment. And when we were closing up, I just had her go to prayer and I said, I just want you to put your hands like this, okay? And I want you to repeat this prayer. Lord Jesus, I am fearful, worried. I've got anxiety right now of all this uncertainty of health, and where my son and my grandchildren are right now. But right now, with palms opened up, I receive your peace right now, right here. Now listen, folks, I know that sounds so simple because it is simple. It is simple. And I'm telling you, from the top of her head, the sole of her feet, that peace came over her. It's a peace that the scripture says surpasses all understanding. And I'm telling you, till the day she died, she'd always come up at some point and say, oh, whenever I'm going through something, I just put my hands up and I say, I receive the peace of Jesus. Folks, you hear the word, you believe the word, and you do the word. That's where victory always takes place. These folks are scared to death. They're walking in fear. They're walking in worry. They're walking in anxiety. And I'm going to tell you this from my perspective, they have every right to. Because there is threat. But I can't tell you how many times that I've walked in fear over a perceived threat. Something that would never happen. And so when I think about this, he comes in and it's the evening of the first day, okay, of resurrection, Sunday. The doors are shut. The disciples are there for fear of the Jews. And Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. Peace be with you. And when he said this, watch this, he showed them both his hands and his side, and the disciples did what? They rejoiced. They rejoiced. Listen, the threat's not gone. They're still living in a hostile place towards believers, Christ followers. Matter of fact, in just a few short years, Paul's going to be raised up by the enemy to chase those folks down with permission from the religious people of the day. The threat's not gone. But what are they doing? They're rejoicing in the Lord. And I think it's a lesson. It's the first lesson for them when I'm walking in fear. I've got to turn my eyes on Jesus. I have to cast away all fear like we've sung this morning. And I can do that by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can do that by actively obeying and walking in Him, putting my eyes on Jesus and my eyes off the stuff. Now the disciples already had done that before, or had been taught that before. I'm not saying they had done it, but they'd experienced fears before. Keep your place here and go to Mark chapter 4, if you would. Mark chapter 4. It's a great passage of scripture in verse 35. I love this passage. It speaks to Fritcher. On that day, when evening came, he said to them, let us go over to the other side. Okay. I'm going to stop here. Some of you have been here a long time. You've heard me say this before. What did Jesus, where did Jesus say they were going? Where did they say? What did he say? Where are you headed one day? To the other side. Amen? Okay. Now, one more time. I didn't hear you guys over here. Where did Jesus say they were going? The other side. We're going to the other side. Right? Is Jesus with them? He's with them, right? I think for me, when I'm all knotted up with fear, worry, and anxiety by sometimes a real threat and sometimes not so real, I forget that Jesus is wanting to bring me to the other side. The other side of the trial. The other side that what makes me fear and worry. Another on the other side of following, of finding the victory of Christ. From chaos to freedom, right? From chaos to peace. And that's what fear is. It's nothing but chaos in you, inside you, about something that's going to happen in the future. It is a threat of loss, and it's also a presumption that I'm going to lose something. I mean, that's what it is here. Let's go get in the boat. He gets in. Let us go to the other side. So we're going to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, and just as he was, and the other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. And Jesus himself was in the stern asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He's sleeping in the fierce storm. Now, these guys are fishermen. They're fishermen by trade. They fish these things all their life, this place all their life. The way the geography is on the Sea of Galilee, where one side is mountains, I mean, I'm told that sometimes winds come down that mountain, and it stirs that lake up. They've been in storms before, right? But this one scares them to death. They think they're going to die. With Jesus in the boat and having heard, we're going to the other side. We're going to the other side. That's where we're headed. We're headed to Christ's likeness. We're headed to freedom. We're headed to peace in Christ. We're headed into places of ministry where we become peacemakers. Reconcilers, the scripture calls it. We've been talking about that. We're going to the other side. And these folks forget it. How many of you forget that we're going to the other side? Yeah, we all forget in that moment. Forget. I mean, that's what fear does. According to Deuteronomy, it says, hey, when you're getting your folks together, if they're fearful and unafraid, don't take them. Because fear is contagious. It's contagious. Have we seen that in society? Fear is contagious. We catch it. We catch it from authorities. We catch it from people that are just always Nervines. And I'm going to say Nervine because my brother always calls me Nervine. Okay. You can't. Okay. Right there. Right there with them. And you know, I think about just that thought here of here is the disciples who have heard the word, let us go on to the other side. And then the storm comes. It's one greater than they've ever seen. Jesus is sleeping. And notice, they've forgotten. I mean, they've just forgotten. And that's what fear does. You can read that in Isaiah 51, 12 through 13. You forget God. That's a consequence of fear and worry. You forget God. They've forgotten. Out of mind. They forget who Jesus is. They forget who Jesus says he is. He woke him and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" Let me tell you another thing fear does. It'll cause you to walk in accusation and anger toward your great God. They're accusing him of not caring. And we've all done that in some form or fashion. Where are you, God? Why aren't you here? Why aren't you working? Well, I mean, we sang a song today. Hey, he's always working, even when I don't feel it, right? Even when I don't see it, I believe he's working, right? We sang it that way. We sang it like we believed it, but will we believe it in the midst of the trial and the heartache? Doesn't mean we press through with concern. Doesn't mean we press through with wisdom and insight. Please hear me when I say this. Again, this is not something flippant. This is something serious. It's not that we're thinking less than of our trials. Never do that. It's just, I have Jesus, and he's not only in the boat, he's in my life. And by the way, our God never sleeps. As a man, he did. He never sleeps. He's always awake. He never slumbers. I must remember these things. I must believe these things. Peace be with you. I'm here. I'm showing you my hands. I'm showing you my feet. And then all of a sudden, they're rejoicing in the Lord. And here, Jesus gets up, verse 39, the wind is blowing, the rain is falling, the sea is out of control, and he says, hush, be still. And the wind died down, and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, watch this, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? Wow. Why are you afraid? You still have no faith. They became very much afraid, and they said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? I think today there's some of us in this place today, and then some of us in this place maybe tomorrow or next week or next month or sometime, that all these things that crush us, that hurt us, that bring us to stress and anxiety and worry really need to see God show up. And I'm not talking about through, not just something like a sign. I'm just talking about even the gentle voice and whisper of God. Hey, I'm here. Peace be with you. Oh, you don't mean it. Oh, yeah, I mean it. Peace be with you. Hush, be still. You know, I've had that opportunity as a dad when my children are very little. Something can be going on and I can be panicked, which will do what? Panic them. Or I can get myself together, gather them, speak into their lives, and watch peace come over them in the midst of it. We all have that ability. We all have that authority to bring peace into our home, especially in the middle of crisis, in the middle of uncertainty. Believe me, I know about it. Growing up in New Orleans, running through hurricanes to escape. I'm sure my parents were really scared, but I didn't see that. And therefore, there was peace in the wind and the storm as a 5-year-old. I think this thought is they became very much afraid, a new kind of afraid. Who is this one that can speak to the wind, to the uncertainty, to the trial, to all the things that we might be going through right now, right here? This is our God. This is our King. This is our Prince. And I'm telling you this because I believe this with all my heart, because Scripture says, that's why it says this, that this is why it's all about a relationship with God the Father. It's not some religious thing out there. It's not some kind of do's and don'ts, although we do great things, Scripture says, and we stop doing bad things. Amen? Yeah. But we serve the living God, folks, who's ever present. And I remember that, even at 64 years old, to get my eyes off the trial and on to our great God. So I'm walking by the Spirit and not the carton here, not the flesh, right? Walking by the Spirit. You know, when I think about the things that that fear does to me and does to folks, fear sometimes will cause you to miss out on God's victory. Joshua 7, Gideon calls all the men, tells them, hey, if you're afraid, you get to go home. And those guys, I think there's like 20,000 people went home. And they missed, or had the opportunity to miss, the greatest victory of their generation. No loss of life, no injury, just blow a few horns, put together a few gourds, and the enemy turns on themselves. I'm telling you, fear can cause you to deny Jesus. It did for Peter three times. In his fear, he denied Jesus three times. Fear will produce rebellion. We see that in Deuteronomy chapter 1, where the children of Israel were so afraid that they decided not to go into the promised land. They rebelled against God, and they walked it off for 40 years in the wilderness. Fear will prevent praise. John chapter 9. This guy is healed. He's blind all his life. And the Bible says that there was such a coming against Jesus and coming against this healing because it was done on the Sabbath. And the Bible says that the parents said, no, that's him. That's nobody else. He's been blind all his life. But they did not want to give praise to Jesus because they were afraid they might get kicked out of church. I know what it is to walk in intense fear, uncontrollably, can't see out of it. I know what it's like. But I know that God's greater. I'll tell you this, folks. He is present. I'm here, he'd say. Peace be with you. Would I receive it? How would I do that? Turn to Philippians chapter 4, if you would. Philippians chapter 4. All right, whoever has their alarm set on 12. You must be new. And don't put it on snooze. Philippians chapter 4. For my 30th anniversary, I was given a Bible. And the Bible stayed out in the foyer for many weeks. And folks came by and outlined all their life verses. And I can't tell you how many. I'm telling a bunch of folks, a bunch of you have this as your life verse. And it's an awesome one to have, because I want you to see how you can overcome fear today just by reading Scripture. Okay, notice what he says. And I'm sorry I don't have this in your notes. I think I just have the notes. This was something that I decided, gosh, late yesterday to do. So notice what he says. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Number one, and conquering your fear, is you not must position yourself to always rejoice in the Lord. It's a position of praise. It's a position of worship. It's a position of thankfulness. We talked about turning your eyes on Jesus. This is how you do it. You get it off the waves. You get it off that, and you turn it on him. And I'm not saying that you just don't forget about it. It's just that because some things you've got to deal with. Got to journey through it. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You know, one of my favorite verses of Scripture is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I think it's 11. I should know it because it's one of my favorites. Sorry. But he says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Everything? Yeah, everything. Rejoice always? Yeah, always. Not 20% of the time, not 30%, not 40, not 50, not 80, not 90, not 99. Always rejoice in the Lord. It's a position that I'm rejoicing in who he is. When I'm doing that, I'm looking at more at the eternity and eternal life things instead of the temporal things. Bible says these days are short. And don't I know it at 64. Don't I know it. I can't believe how fast the week goes. How it's Sunday again. And how it's Christmas again. Some people say, before you know, it'll be Christmas. I say, before you know, it'll be Christmas 2030. It goes by fast. But he's saying, listen, always, you always rejoice in the Lord. And then the second thing you want to do is you want to let your meekness, your gentleness be known to all men. In other words, this is the calmness of your heart. This is the where faith is seen in you, where you have this faith, you have this trust in God. It's a gentleness, it's a gentle spirit. Yet it's also known as meekness, which is power under control. The Greeks used it to speak of a trained horse. Meekness. Power under control. Circus folks did that with elephants. As babies, tied them up to a stake, and they tried to get away. Could never get away. And now, as adults, they've controlled them. It's not what they want, but it's power under control. And if you've ever been to a circus, and you see where the you're not seeing them in the circus act, but out, what are they doing? They're rocking back and forth, rocking back and forth, rocking back and forth. Because they don't think they can be free. It's another power under control. They can be free in a moment. Let your gentle spirit be known with all men. What's the next one? The Lord is near. The Lord is at hand. Matter of fact, if you're a believer, he's living in you. That's how near he is. The Lord is near. But that also can mean that his coming is near. It also can mean that, hey, he's about to come and relieve you of all of this. And I always think about this when Moses is up on the mountain. He's been up there 40 days and 40 nights, and they decide they're going to do something else. They're going to get them, they're going to make for themselves another God. And all they had to do was wait another half a day, a couple of more hours. Moses was coming on down. And what did they do? They got another God to give them peace. And that's what we do, folks. Your money's not your peace. Your stuff's not your peace. Your doctor's not your peace. Your health's not your peace. He's your peace. It's not your retirement. It's not your ministry. It's not what we do in this life. That's our peace. He's our peace. And then out of that peace flows everything else for us, because we have peace with God, and he is not only near, he's living in us. And I look at myself and I say, Richard, you have no excuse. I'm talking about me. I mean, think about it. You're paying me to preach this message. The question is, will I live it out? Will I walk it out? And then it says this, be anxious for nothing. In other words, there's not one thing that I'm to be a mess about. And that's scripture. On the screen, on your phone, in the book that you're holding right now. Be anxious for what? For what? Nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. Prayer is your ongoing conversation with God. Your supplication is asking him the requests that are on your heart and on your mind with what? Thanksgiving. There it is again. Rejoice always with thanksgiving. You let your requests be made known to God. And something supernatural happens when you do these things. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, all comprehension, will guard what? Your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Have you ever experienced that? Raise your hand on that. It's a testimony. Yeah. Anybody else? Wow. One day when I was a kid, 15, 16 years old, I was walking in some anxiety. And I was quoting this verse right and left. Quote it, quote it, quote it, quote it. And nothing was happening. And I just cried out to God, God, I'm quoting this verse. And I can't find relief. I can't find peace. And I don't know. It's a still small voice of the Lord said, quit quoting it. and start living it. Start doing it. And you know, I think part of that, you know, as in ministry and that first little story I told you about, there are times that I have to sit still, and say, God, I receive your peace. I, in the name of Jesus, will not walk in this overwhelming anxiety in this case. Not going to walk in it. By the power of Jesus, by the grace of God, by the Spirit of God, I choose to repent from that so that I can receive and walk in your peace. Now, sometimes I got to do it an hour later. Got to keep on doing it, pushing in. Other times, it flies away and doesn't come back. Peace to face all what fears you, what gives you anxiety. And folks, listen, this peace can only come to those who have peace with God. The Bible calls it a ministry of reconciliation, where he reconciled you to God through his blood, where you became one with him and at peace with him. That's the foundation. Romans chapter 5, it's in your notes. This is a practical peace. And I want to challenge you that these would become fighter verses for you, where you memorize this passage of Scripture. You let it get deep into you so that the next time your first default is what God says to do when you're anxious, worried, and fearful. Jesus comes in and says, what? In the midst of the fears, peace be with you. Now, and I got to say this, I'm not going to be able to preach on it, but I'm going to tell you, the Bible says that Thomas was not there when that happened. And Thomas, when they saw Thomas, they said, hey, Thomas, we saw the Lord. He said, well, I'm not going to believe it until I see him, and I put my hands in his hands, and I put my hands in his feet, my hands in his feet, and I put my hand in his side. And then 8 days later, Jesus shows up with what? Peace. And immediately says to Thomas, I think God told Shelley, baby doll. Is that what I heard? Baby doll? Baby girl. Okay. I kind of say, come here, boy. Come here, guy. Come here, young man. Put your hands in my hands. Put your finger in your... Put your whole hand in my side. And what does he say immediately? Oh, my Lord. And what did he say? My God! I got to say this, theologians amongst us and doubters among us. We believe that Jesus is God, right? Amen. That's what distinguishes us. He's God. And there's lots of folks who say he isn't. And when you have this passage of Scripture and he says, my Lord and my God, does Jesus say, stop it, I'm not God? No. He lets the confession, because he says, oh, you're believing now, right? You're believing. Believing what? That I'm Lord, and I'm God, and I'm alive, and I'm here. And he says, now you're going to believe it, since you've seen me? Now watch this. Blessed are those who have not seen, and yet do what? Believe. They believe in Jesus, the Prince of Peace. They believe in Jesus, who's God. They believe in Jesus, the Savior of the world, the Savior of the soul. They put their faith in him. And when they put their faith in him, they get peace with God. And I'm telling you, when you got peace with God, I'm telling you, the enemy needs to watch out for you and us. Because this is where we get our power. It's through faith, through this peace. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for the peace that you promise. We saw it in our fears, and just a minute ago in our doubts. And we all have seasons of doubts. But I want to thank you that you show up, and you speak into our lives, and we hear your voice, and we know you're alive, and we know who you say you are. And I want to pray, Father, in Jesus, in the name of Jesus, that there's all sorts of folks in our body that are here right now, that are watching right now, or that may not be here right now, that are really, really struggling. And I want to ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you'd come show yourself strong with a great amount of peace that surpasses all understanding. I pray that you'd speak it. And Father, I pray that we would be bold enough to speak it over one another. Father, I know that there's lots of folks that are struggling today. You know, I think about wars today, and I think about our family that's here from Ukraine 2 years ago today. It's 2 years. And I pray for those folks. I pray for that war. And I pray for our family here, the Potapotes. And I ask that you would grant them great confidence and peace. We've heard it. We've heard them speak of it, testify of the peace of Jesus that they had in the midst of the war. But I know, we know their heart still aches. And just pray for that today. I pray for our families today that are struggling with the diagnosis of cancer. I pray, Father, that you'd relieve their fears. But I also pray that you'd heal them. That you'd heal them completely. Father, I pray for those today that are suffering with other things that we mentioned. Miss Jan Knupp and the anxiety. Just pray that you'd give her peace right now, right here. Pray for Jamie Solis and Julie and their children that are here today. I just ask, God, that you would bring great healing. Pray for the recovery of Marilee Mayberry. I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, for those that have lost loved ones. I pray, Father, for those of us that are just so frozen with fear about the future. And you say, don't worry about tomorrow. Today has enough trouble of its own. God, I pray for a church that not only speaks peace, but walks in peace on the way to speaking peace. Thank you, Father. And I just pray right now for our body that the peace of Jesus would rest upon every single person today, and they'd go out of here in peace today. In Jesus' name, amen.